everyone, welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. This month, we celebrated National School Counselor Week from February 3rd through the 7th. National School Counseling Week is not about the individual school counselor, but about the awareness and advocacy of the role of the school counselor. School counselors provide services to all students in the areas of social, emotional, college, career, and academic development. Thank you to Reach Higher, the American School Counselor Association, and the California Association of School Counselors for all they do to advocate for school counselors. Riverside County had the highest graduation rate among the largest 10 counties in the state of California. Congratulations to all the amazing school counselors, educators, administrators, and students. You work so hard day in and day out inside the schools. You are definitely making a difference. Teamwork makes the dream work. Thank you to Superintendent Dr. Judy White for your leadership. A few school counselors in Riverside County were honored by the College Board for their exemplary work. Janelle Poultry from Banning Unified School District and Sandy Arave from Western Center Academy were nationally recognized for being lifelong learners, collaborators, and data-driven counselors to student success. We will post that information on our YouTube channel. A few months ago, I had the honor to interview two amazing school counselors that I initially met when I served on the California Association of School Counselors Board. Dr. Yuri Nava is a school counselor at Pauley High School in Riverside Unified School District. She was the 2015 California School Counselor of the Year and an ASCA National Model recipient. Eric Sanchez is a school counselor at Vista del Lago High School in Moreno Valley Unified School District. He graduated from Riverside County from La Sierra High School and Alvord Unified School District. He has earned numerous recognitions for his work with athletes. We discuss the importance of the ASCA National Model, data, NCAA, and tips for working with athletes. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi everyone, I'm with some amazing educators. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Eric Sanchez, and I am a school counselor at Vista del Lago High School in Moreno Valley, and I'm also the director of recruiting for San Bernardino Valley College football team.
And hi, I'm Dr. Yuri Nava, and I wear a couple hats. I am a school counselor at Riverside Pauley High School in Riverside, California, also an adjunct professor at La Sierra University in their school counseling psychology program, also a ramp reviewer for the ASCA Board of Directors, so a couple of those hats that I wear.
And Yuri, you were an ASCA finalist for Counselor of the Year, also the California School Counselor of the Year in 2015. Can you share with everyone what it was like to go to the White House and see Michelle Obama?
It was definitely a very emotional and rewarding experience. I think the presidency that was coming in had a lot of negative rhetoric for the Latino community. And for me, being the first Latina SCOI finalist in 2017, being able to take my immigrant parents to the White House and have them celebrate in that with me, it was definitely really emotional, and it just put a lot of things in reflection and perspective that, I really am living the American dream and I'm able to give back. And it was all thanks to my high school counselor who really helped me and empowered me with so many resources and really set me on my journey towards higher education.
And that was great to see you at the White House. We were all cheering for you. We're like, yeah, we got a Riverside person. So that was awesome. I remember that moment. I watched it live on the live stream. And you were like right behind Michelle Obama. How was that?
Her energy was insane. So before walking out, we were able to meet with her in a couple different rooms. So they called the red room and the blue room. And so we were all sitting around in a circle. And she came out with so much energy. And you can definitely feel that she does truly value educators. And it's nothing scripted. It's genuinely from her heart. She knows her stuff. She's an incredibly smart woman. She shook our hands. And she knew our names, which was just amazing. I could not believe that. And she took the time to just come around and introduce herself. And it really got everybody just so motivated for what, was about to happen, which is the historic, her last speech at the White House. It was just so validating for me, and I think for so many others, because we had such a diverse selection of SCOIs across the nation, and also just as a finalist, I've always felt that, you know, I never saw a lot of people like me in kind of higher roles in education. And so even prior to attending the White House and coming back with so many Latina educators that I didn't even know that would say, we saw you, we were cheering for you and my students. So I think it just created a lot of validation for, especially in California, that is has a large population of Latino students, a lot of just reassurance that we can do great things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you serve on the ASCA ethical, or not ethical, sorry, RAMP committee. Can you talk a little bit about that and like give any tips you can to schools that want to apply for RAMP?
So my RAMP journey kind of started when I was in graduate school. I was lucky enough to have amazing professors who really stressed about the importance of data, being data informed, and being part of the different associations, state and national. And then as I got my first job, I knew that I had to do some education for myself and also for my administrators who, for example, at my first public school job, I was an elementary counselor split at two schools with two brand new principals, one coming from private school and one coming from out of the classroom. And neither had experience in terms of like what is a comprehensive school counseling program. And so I figured if we're going to do this, we're just going to go ahead and implement the national model. And I think it's really time to change the mindset around the national model and RAMP. It really is not more work. It's actually really intentional and great advocacy work. And it really does empower you as a school counselor to own your counseling program. And my absolute favorite part of RAMP and the ASCA national model is working on a closing the gap, because it is 100% something that you have created, propels you into leadership position. And so I really want to encourage everybody out there, if they're struggling, if they're feeling, you know, they're at a point in their counseling program or in their career where they need something new, or they're just not getting anywhere, or it's just time to change things up, I really want to encourage them to look towards the national model for a reset, because it really is what it is. It's a great reflection and process to reset your program and to embark on a great adventure to close some achievement gaps, because at the end, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Eric, you have done a lot of great things with athletes, particularly NCAA. Can you share your journey, like, high school to college, and how you got involved with that?
Absolutely. Well, I was a student at La Sierra High School, and while I was at La Sierra, I wasn't necessarily the best student around. I had a learning disability where I had difficulties with counting, and I had scholarship opportunities to a few universities, and unfortunately I wasn't able to go just based on my grades, and I just wasn't academically prepared. And I ended up going to San Bernardino Valley College as a student athlete, and I attended school there. And over there, I was able to learn a whole new appreciation for the academic process. And I think learning the academic process over at the community college really enabled me to be successful and really enabled me to value my education. I went from being a 2.2 high school student to being a 3.0 community college student. And it was something that I took a lot of pride in. And I played for 2 years for the football team. And then I earned a scholarship to Central Methodist University in Fayette, Missouri. Trust me, nobody around probably has never even heard of it. Yeah. It is a very tiny school in Fayette, Missouri.
Yeah.
But the thing about the university is it holds a lot of power, a lot of respect, and the education there is good. I was blessed with an opportunity to attend there on both athletic scholarships and academic scholarships. I earned a Bachelor's of Science in Education from there, and also had the opportunity to play college football. And then I ended up coaching there for 3 years. And over there, I was able to really get in even deeper over there. And then I came back home, and when I came back home, I had the opportunity to coach community college football over at Mount San Jacinto College, where I was able to meet my mentor, and he still is my mentor, Ed Carberry. And Ed Carberry is a legend in San Diego County as far as coaching, and I ended up coaching with him. Actually, I've coached with him quite a few times off and on over the years. And when I was at San Jacinto, he told me, you need to go and work on your master's. You're really good at talking to people, and especially these kids. I followed him down to Southwestern College in Chula Vista. And let me tell you, in case you don't know where Chula Vista is, the drive is really long. And I used to drive to Chula Vista from Moreno Valley 7 days a week.
How far is the drive?
Approximately 2 hours.
Wow.
So I worked with the student athletes there, and he actually fired me, but he told me this. He said, I'm going to fire you, but I'm going to fire you because I'm also handing you this letter of recommendation. You're going to graduate school.
Oh, good.
And I entered University of Redlands and earned my PPS and my master's over there. And I met Yuri right here, and you know, it's...
And you guys went to college together?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
We were in the same program together. And, you know, like, just to say this, like, I actually feel, like, honored to be here in this same podcast with both yourself and Yuri, you know, with both really good counselors. So I'm really blessed with this opportunity to get a chance to meet with both of you today and just talk a little bit about counseling and about student-athletes.
You guys both work great with athletes. Can you share what you do with the NCAA on your campus? We'll start with Yuri.
Well, just to kind of reflect back on even the NCAA process, so me being an immigrant to the U.S., not knowing American sports, something that always kind of resonates with me is that we can't empower our students doing the bare minimum as school counselors. And so I had to educate myself and really know what I was going to be talking about so that I could then transfer that knowledge to my students. And so I think it's really important that we do that self-reflection and on topics like NCAA, but not just NCAA, like the qualifying, but even the mental health aspect of NCAA. That's something that I've been so lucky enough to collaborate with Eric on, and he's been able to come to some of my graduate courses and share with our students that the different pressures that athletes face, not just with mental health, but with eating disorders, stress and anxiety, and also being an athlete as a minority in this country. And so there's so many other facets to just even qualifying for NCAA and the courses that you need to take. And so really being that and having that information and having a trauma-informed aspect and for NCAA in that part is so important. So I really took it upon myself I challenged myself to even present on this topic at one of our state conferences because I told myself, like, I need to know this subject and I do need to be well-versed in all aspects of school counseling, especially things that I may not feel comfortable at. So I started talking to other counselors, talking to other athletic directors and really getting to know about every sport, you know, when people are redshirted, and I learned about the Pac-12 and all the different programs that are out there and what athletes could do. And that not just empowered me as a counselor, but then I was able to help my students navigate the NCAA process, you know, early on, because we know that our students start sports early on in middle school, elementary school.
Yeah.
And it's important to instill that college going culture and that thought process of, you know, what am I gonna do with my talent, or at what time do I do this? When do I do college visits? And to be able to have those conversations early on.
Yeah, it's important.
Absolutely.
Do you want to talk about, like, kind of what you share with Yuri about the mental health aspect with athletes?
Absolutely. So, like, being a student athlete, it's not easy, because when you look at the life of a student athlete, there are so many pressures that a student athlete has that they have in their life. So I'll give you an example just on a typical college student athlete. So when a student is in high school, they have to kind of mentally prepare for what they're about to go through. So when they get into college, pretty much their life is scheduled down to the very last second that they could possibly be scheduled. So one of the things that I try and work with some of my student athletes right now, whether it be at Vista Del Lago or over at Valley College, is becoming masters of time management. And if you're a master of time management, you're going to be able to fit all those things into your schedule, whether it be with having time to study or having time to do assignments, going to class, going to practice, and even down to getting enough sleep every night. Student athletes have to have that experience of being a master of time management and being able to squeeze everything in, because it gets difficult.
It's hard when you first go to college, you have all this freedom.
Absolutely, and I'm actually happy that you brought that up. Some of my experience includes, I know I don't talk a lot about the experience, but I also used to work at UCLA. I worked for the UCLA Athletic Department in 2012-2013, and I was an academic mentor for the football program. And over there, my main assignment was to work with a group of student athletes. I had approximately 6 freshman student athletes. And my main goal was to get those freshman student athletes from being local athletic stars on their high school campuses to getting them prepared to be scholar athletes at a fine institution like UCLA. You know, yeah. These kids are going from whatever high school they were at to being at the creme de la creme of being a scholar athlete. Over at UCLA, you know, you have 113 national championships, or over there at my time when I was there, it was 113 national championships. And you get reminded every single day when I would walk into our offices, I'd walk through the Hall of Fame, and here you have 113 national championship trophies sitting right there, and you walk past like stuff with John Wooden on it, Jackie Robinson, and you realize that not only do you have to get these kids ready to be successful, you too have to be successful, and you have to bring good services to the student. You have to just bring it to the student, and every single day you have to find a way to reach those students. You know, whether it be the student athlete that thinks he's going to go to the NFL after graduation, or if it's that kid, that student athlete that is going to be going into the Anderson School of Business over at UCLA. You need to get these guys ready. And not only that, but it's also about getting the kids to think about more than athletics.
Yeah.
Get them to really get focused in on the academic aspect of it, and also the personal aspect of it too. And I will tell you this, if you make a connection with these kids, it is a very special relationship, and they are probably amongst the most loyal and dedicated students that I have worked with. As far as students I have worked with are the athletes, because they're so grateful, and they're so like, they say like, man, I would have never made it without you.
Yeah, and I kind of wish I had a coach like you or someone to prepare me when I went into college, because my first year at Cal Baptist University, I played basketball and cross country, and it was like you'd get up at 4 in the morning, you'd have to be on the basketball court at 5 to practice, and later on at 3 o'clock you're lifting weights, and then you got practice again, and it just was like nonstop, and you're trying to manage, and then you're traveling across the state of California on this bus, and then you're trying to do your homework, and nobody tells you like you got to manage this time because everything's like on a bell schedule.
Yeah.
So I really wish that I had that in my life. I learned it along my way. And then I played basketball with Matt Elder. He went to Cal Baptist University too. Mm-hmm. He's from Valverde District. And he was really good like at balancing everything. And I think he just had that niche with basketball and time management. But I didn't have that growing up. It was just like something that I just thought, oh, I'll just catch up later.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I stated earlier, you have to bring the passion to work with that population. If you're not bringing passion, if you're not bringing the energy, if you're not bringing your absolute best, those kids in particular will pick up on that pretty quickly. And especially if you're not genuine in working with them. And I think that it still is one of my greatest assets as a counselor, is being able to build up that relationship between myself and the student athlete. and just bring in my best every single day.
Some of the things we do at Nora Vista is we hold NCAA and NAIA workshops. So every athlete is invited, and we try to get them all there. So obviously not everyone's going to play sports in college or go pro, but we want them there because we make them focus like academics is first. So then they see like, this is a GPA you need to get NCAA, and then they see academics has to be first, and you have to have the 16 core courses. And even with NAIA, there's a certain GPA.
Yes.
Put it all together, and it's like the reality check comes, like, oh my gosh, I got to get my grades up.
Exactly, and I think that one of the biggest misconceptions too is that there's so many students where they're thinking like, I'm A through G, so that automatically means I'm going to be NCAA.
Yeah, it's actually harder to get an NCAA.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you guys do at Poly?
Well, I'm really glad that, Eric, that you mentioned about services, and indirectly, I think this is also why instilling a comprehensive program and following the ASCA model and implementing RAMP is just such a great advocacy tool for students, in that it allows you to really reflect on what is really important for your campus and for education itself. And so one of the things that we started to talk about is that it really seems that in education we really compartmentalize student services, and we tend to do that by category. What does our LGBTQ students need? What do our athletes need? What do our African American students need? Instead of thinking of what are some global skills to help all our students succeed. And so something that we did, because you know we felt as counselors that we were like just running in all these points of data and points of direction, saying we need to do these for the athletes, we need to do this for our ROTC students, we need to do this for our EL students. And then we thought, you know, we're kind of spinning our wheels here when we can really talk about what are some global social emotional skills, career skills, or academic skills that our kids can learn, all of them, that we can deliver so that they can all be successful and then we're not leaving anybody behind. And so one of the things that we did is we had an activity, we took it to our advisory council, which has administrators, students, staff, we have classified staff, certificated staff, we have our SRO that serves on that, we have our parents, and we talked about by domain, what are all the different skills or what are some things that are necessary that would help all these students groups achieve. And so what we came up with is that we were going to deliver tier one and tier two lessons that talked about time management, which, you know, really all our kids can use, not just our athletes and not just ASB kids or anything like that.
And tier one, so everyone knows, is for the
correct
whole school.
We also taught them, we went in and we taught them about stress management and handling anxiety, because that's something that every single kid, no matter what category they're in, deals with. And we also talked about positive relationships, because that's so important, not just at this point in their lives with their peers, but also with adults, and managing so many different adult personalities and teachers. And we also talked about having a life balance and what that looked like. And so with our student groups, with, you know, incorporating the student voice and the teacher perspective and every stakeholder's input, we developed these set of skills that we said every single student on our campus is gonna get this, because we don't wanna leave anybody out of these, you know, counseling services. And we feel like that's really helped us kind of bridge our program and to definitely be way more comprehensive, but also ensuring that no group of students is left out of different services.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love it.
Absolutely. I think that all students deserve to have a chance to be not only successful, but to also have the same services offered, so that way they can be not only academically successful, but also successful being more social with serving some of the, you know, with serving like how the kids are feeling. I think if we equip all of our students with the same tools that we use for like certain groups, and we bring together all those really good tools, because like where one group, like student athletes, might have like a really good skill that everyone can use, they may not have the same thing as maybe like kids from ASB or maybe our LGBTQ community. You know, it's all about pulling all the best resources that we can from all the different groups on campus and offering it to all the students.
Yeah, systemic approach.
Absolutely. And I think if more schools were to go with the systemic approach, with just incorporating all those really good ideas, not only is it going to be more collaborative, but I think we'll start seeing a lot of success.
Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know? Any other tips?
I think just, and I tell this to my graduate students, that we need to stop treating our kids differently based on what group they belong to. For example, we know that we tend to hold the hands more of our first gen students, but I think it's time to hold all our students' hands and really treat everybody the same, because I cannot think of any kid who wouldn't benefit from college tips, from additional scholarship resources, or from just some extra TLC, those AVID strategies, all of that. And so it's important to really, like Eric just mentioned, hone in all those best practices and implement them towards all our kids so that we can move them forward in every single category, from SPED to EL to Foster to African American to Indian, you name it. It's time that we really push all our kids forward and not just focus on different categories. So yeah, that would be my best tip.
It's about equity. So like, yes, equality is you all get free shoes. Equity is you all get the same for your size shoe that fits you. Mm-hmm. So making sure they get the right size shoe.
Yeah, and then we understand like some groups are going to need more, and we have to do that, but they should at least all have the same foundation.
Right. So at the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. Can you guys share at least one thing that made you happy this week?
Yeah, but before I share with that, I want to have my closing remark.
No.
I wanted to share, because I'm so happy that you talked a little bit about being equitable. And I had that moment happen for me last year. And last year, I was busy doing, you know, working with my students, but then I started having female student athletes coming up to me, and they said, well, Mr. Sanchez, you know, we want to try and earn athletic scholarships too, and we don't know what to do. And I looked up at him, I said, you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. So that's when I started to change the focus from just working with the regular teams that I was working with to spreading it out and to really working with those female sports. So last year, I ended up having a total of 9 female student athletes that were offered athletic scholarships. And I think the total scholarship number was well over $100,000 for the 6 student or 6 to 9 student athletes that were offered. Thank you. 3 of them ended up signing, and everyone looks at me and they're like, wow, Sanchez, that's amazing, because they looked at the 3 sports. It wasn't football, it wasn't like track and field, or it wasn't basketball or softball. It was, one of them was for cross country at Cal State San Marcos.
Yeah.
And then I sent 2 young ladies out to my alma mater in Missouri at Central Methodist. One of them was a female wrestler. That young lady right now is basically the face of the women's wrestling program at Central Methodist. And then a young lady that went for cheer, and she earned an athletic scholarship in cheer to go to school at Central Methodist University. And I'm so proud of those 3 young ladies, because they took that extra step they said, we want to break the barriers. So especially the 2 young ladies at Central Methodist, they're doing some great things. And in fact, I got a call from the vice president of that university, and they said, Mr. Sanchez, can you send us more kids like that? And to me, that's the greatest compliment that I can possibly receive.
Yeah, they're doing great things over there.
Absolutely. But as far as like a good positive thing this week, I feel like being out here this week, getting a chance to, because we are at the California Affordability Summit. And this has been such a great experience, getting a chance to hear from the amazing speakers and getting a chance to learn new things about financial aid for our students. And like, that has just really brought the energy today. And then also getting a chance to sit here with both of you. You know, I've known both of you for a very long time, and especially having someone like Yuri here to be able to bounce ideas back and forth with, like, I'm proud to say not only is Yuri a colleague of mine, but she's also a really good friend. Her family is absolutely amazing, and we call each other up throughout the semester. I'm like, oh, Yuri, I could really use some help with this. Give me some ideas. Yeah. And, you know, it's great just getting a chance to sit here and exchanging those ideas here this evening, just to talk about school counseling and to talk about what we can do to help each other's kids out. And that is absolutely amazing. And like, whenever I talk with Yuri, it's like we're always talking for like hours about like just school counseling and just helping out kids. So,
that's,
you know,
what it's about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Networking is so important.
Yeah. How about you, Yuri?
I would say, I mean, there's so many positive things for this week. I think as school counselors, sometimes we feel like we're tasked with so much. And these issues of financial aid and college readiness and even social emotional, it's not just the school counselor's job. It is all our jobs as educators to take on these issues and tackle them united. And so to be here for such a historic moment, to have so many policymakers and top people in the state really acknowledging the fact that they also must own college affordability and college access, it's so thrilling. And to know that, you know, we're going to have these great partnerships to move all our students in California forward. And I hope that, you know, we set the stage to the rest of the country for how we can collaborate and unite as educators in the state of California to really ensure that all our kids have options and don't just have a single choice.
Yeah, and I think also for me it was meeting all the educators from out of state, like Tennessee, Louisiana, and just collaborating with them and what they do. Tennessee has a great mentorship program that I think I'm going to implement at our site, and they've agreed to help us. So it's just been a lot of networking, and I'm very grateful to be here and meet amazing people and talk with you guys. And it was fun to serve with you on this short time with the California Association of School Counselors. So that was a great time. And I feel like it was so long ago, but
absolutely.
Every time I see you, it was just like yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. And, you know, like if there's one thing that in closing that I can share with like a young counselor or like a student counselor, I would absolutely say get out there and start networking.
Yeah.
Network, because
never work alone.
Absolutely, because it's all about working as a team, but also developing your ideas and to, I hate to say it, but steal ideas or borrow ideas from other great counselors, because you don't realize who could be sitting in the chair right next to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for being on our podcast. If you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Goodbye, people.
Adios, people.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.